But here nature is of a different kind. The other kind of nature that I just described is almost like taking LSD, which I tried once, because there the sense perceptions become amplified. It's as if everything sounds, visual sense, touch, smell, as if they were all shouting at you, overwhelming. You get bombarded by heightened sense perception, so much that for some people it's their first experience of not thinking, because you're so bombarded with sense perceptions you can't think anymore. It can be an opening. You're not growing in consciousness, but it can be a glimpse of something, how alive the world can be. And so people go and they look at a teapot and say, wow. Or any ordinary object. Even a bare wall is almost pulsating with life. And the mind stops. And you feel, I lived in some kind of prison all my life, and so the world is alive. And then gradually it wears down. What was all that? For some people that becomes an incentive for some people that has been the beginning of their quest. There is more than my mind. There's greater depth to reality than my mind. And so you have nature that can sometimes stop your mind because it's so overwhelming. But here this is not the case. And here this brings us back to chopping wood and carrying water. Nature here is beautiful but relatively ordinary. It's the trees of medium height. It's not like a forest in Canada where you go, oh my God. When you reach the seashore, it's not the open ocean, so the waves are not that huge. They're just little waves. So it's not a place where there are extremes. Maybe the Buddha would have liked it here. And this is an opportunity for bringing presence to the ordinariness, beauty, but also the seeming ordinariness of nature. And then look for what you would normally have overlooked. What the wind does to the blades of grass when you look. Quivering. What it does to the leaves it plays with the branches and the leaves. Might make a slight sound. Now to notice that, you need alertness. To notice a gigantic chunk of ice falling from a glacier in the Swiss Alps, you don't need very much presence. There's an explosive sound and it comes tumbling towards you. But for that subtleness, greater alertness is required. Otherwise you'll miss it. And so there's such alertness that you're not interpreting what you see. You're not saying the wind is playing with the grass. No, it's just what is. And there's a depth and a beauty there and a stillness in it that you can't explain, nor do you need to. And then you look at a patch of ground right in front of you, grass, and perhaps two or three kinds of flowers. Some are yellow, some are white, some are red. They take a few hours before they open completely after sunrise, because at night they go. When the sun comes, it takes two or three hours before they're completely open. And you watch that. Also some movement there. And you discover things that you haven't seen before, that there's enormous life even in one square meter. And you bring awareness, presence to that. And then you walk and you see a grove of trees or whatever it is, and you perceive the totality of that landscape as a total field in which intense aliveness is happening. Bringing that to nature, then what nature is teaching you is the state of no mind, no thought. Although nature is pre-mind, it hasn't arrived at mind. You are post-mind, but you meet in the state of no mind. It has similarities. Nature is one with itself and with the totality. Every animal is one with itself. It doesn't separate itself out of the totality. It says, me. Maybe there may be a few exceptional mad dogs that